I do want to give you a quick update on some of the things that we went through at Quest and really wrap up, I think, a really great Quest this year. Amen. And so what we talked about at Quest this year was Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And so there's so many implications that we have there. And so I'm not going to go through all the teachings, but I will tell you this. We have all the teachings available for you. All the small groups, all the quiet times that we went through at Quest 2013, I've put up on a webpage. I'm going to place them on the Facebook page. If you want to go to the website, it's actually, if you want to write this down, it's nextgenerationchurch.weebly.com, W-E-E-B-L-Y.com. If you don't want to remember that, don't sweat it. I'll put it on the Facebook page so we've got it. We'll link it out there. On that page is all those quiet times, all the small groups. And here's why I think this is important is I don't want Quest to become a memory by this Thursday. What we talked about and what we did at camp cannot become a memory by this Thursday. We should be sitting there and it should infuse into what we are doing as a church. Amen. And so when we do hot worship, if that's what we got to do to get everybody motivated, we'll shut off the air conditioners. Praise God. It'll bring the budget down. So if we need to do it, but it was awesome. And our kids worshiped the one true God. And they realized that the one true God is the best thing for their hearts. The one true God wants what's best for your kids' hearts. And don't we want what's best for our kids' hearts? Amen. Don't we want the, you know, that's why we put them in school. That's why we raise them up. That's why we teach them to kind of obey and, hey, let's do these things. But as much as we try to do those things, Jesus wants it better. He does. And the beauty is that he's not looking for you to measure up. He's looking for you to embrace him because he paid the cost of our sins. Amen. So we're going to take a look at what I'm going to call kind of a wrap up about what this is about creating a clean heart of God and renewing a right spirit. Spirit. That's kind of a weird word. Spirit. What does that mean? We're going to read a little bit about this in John chapter 16. If you have your Bible, you can go there. John chapter 16, starting in verse 5. If you've got a real Bible, that's awesome. If you've got a virtual Bible on your phone, that's cool. It's whatever. But let's take a look at there. And here's where I want to start. I want to ask you a question, and this applies to absolutely everyone. Where do you go for counsel? Where do you go for counsel? Okay, that's an open-ended question. Fritz, what kind of counsel are you talking about? Dating? Where do you go for counsel about dating? Okay, Gino told me to quit dating when I got married. I thought that was very wise counsel. He said, dude, just date your wife. Okay, I can do that. That's pretty smart. Where do you go for career advice? Where do you go for financial advice? Where do you go for advice on where you're going to go to college? Where you're going to live? Should I take on a home loan? A home loan is very, very expensive. It's a big financial decision. Where do you go to make sure that you know that that is what you should be doing with your precious resources and funds? Typically, I'll tell you this, typically, the world is very quick to give you opinion. It really is. There's no lack of counsel actually out there. All you've got to do is Google something like, steps about dating. Oh, 10 steps for better dating. You know, 5 steps for a better financial freedom. 7 steps on how to kiss better. I'm like, what? Really? And that was serious. That was like a advertisement on the NewYorkTimes.com. I'm like, so where do we go? It is, you will get opinions and you will get experts all over the TV set who will love to tell you about how to spend your time, your talents, and your possessions. They absolutely will. Everybody loves to give their opinion. I love to give mine. And we all do that. And we're actually trying, you know, we're seeking these things out. And so we are seeking this advice. Here's the big idea. You ready? God sent a counselor for you. God sent the counselor for you, to minister to you, to talk to the deepest places in your heart. And this counselor is the Holy Spirit. And when we think about the Trinity, when we think about the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we really got to make sure and understand that to really walk as a Christian, you must include the Holy Spirit in what you're doing in a day-to-day basis. It is a day-to-day walk. The Trinity is something where we all, you know, each of the levels of God there, are the different personalities of God or whatever you want to describe that. There's Father, the Creator. There's the Son, Jesus, who comes and he sacrifices for us his mission. Then the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit comes. And the Holy Spirit is this counselor. The Holy Spirit is looking to breathe life into your life. Jesus comes so that when we say, create in me a pure heart, O God, here's the news. You can't create your own pure heart. You can't. The wages of sin is death. And by the way, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, those people, no. All of us. We all start in a place of, we're a sinner. Jesus comes to pay the price, the penalty of our sin. He goes, he dies on the cross. 3 days later, he rises again, defeating death, hell, and the grave. Praise God. Now what do I do? Well, he promises us this Holy Spirit. And he says, the Holy Spirit's going to be your counsel. The Holy Spirit's going to be the one that's going to press you forward with life. Oh, man, we got to have the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, so let's take a look at John 16, 5 through 15, because if you want to learn something, I'd recommend the red letters in your Bible. Jesus is a wonderful counselor about the counselor. I don't know how that works. But he's telling us about what the work of the Holy Spirit's going to do, okay? So let's take a look at these words, okay? This is Jesus speaking. Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. Pause. What's Jesus up to? Let's get some context. Jesus has just told his disciples, I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be here the whole time. What? Wait a minute. What? How's this going to work? Jesus, you're right here in front of me. This is the best thing. You're going to bring back Israel. You're going to restore the kingdom. Jesus, it's got to be you, right? And so what the disciples were looking for really was a political move. They're looking for more of a political move, more something that's like, we're going to reestablish the nation of Israel, and bam, we're going to press forward. Jesus is going to maybe be the king. Awesome. And then we're going to go out, we're going to accomplish the things through this avenue. And what Jesus says is, it's not going to be me. It's not going to be me. This is deflating to the disciples. Oh, wait a minute. What's going on here? Let's take a look at verse 7. But I tell you the truth. It is for your own good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, mine's in a capitalized counselor, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regards to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regards to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you. This is Jesus saying, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. The Holy Spirit moves on behalf of Jesus Christ, of God. And I think what's interesting is that sometimes we can lose grasp of the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit in our life for two reasons. One is we live in a broken culture that can do a couple things with spiritual, when we talk about spiritual things. One is we overhype it. We like to overhype it. Oh, everything is all weird and spiritual. Whoa, no, I don't know. No, if you're hungry, you should eat. I mean, it's just like natural reaction. We can overhype sometimes what's happening in a spiritual sense or spirituality. Number two, we can ignore it. That's not, no, don't just ignore it. No, that's a bunch of, no, that's not real. That's not real. Both those are wrong. There should be a healthy level of spirituality that we should maintain as a Christian. And so when Goldilocks comes into to visit the three bears, and she gets the first set of porridge, she goes, this one's too hot, this one's too cold. No, this one's just right, right? And then she goes to the beds. This one's too hard, this one's too soft, this one's just right. What we need is a healthy view of what the Holy Spirit is up to. We need a healthy view of what the Holy Spirit is up to. Common misconceptions of the Holy Spirit. I've got a list of things where I think there are common misconceptions that I've seen that make me a little nervous for our people. Number one is the Holy Spirit is not how you feel. It is not how you feel. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Sometimes your own understanding is your feelings. And I'm not discounting your feelings. I'm not saying you should be emotionless. I'm saying that may not necessarily be in line with what the Holy Spirit is whispering to you. Right? Does that make sense? Number two, you are not more spiritual if you are more emotional. You're not. It's agnostic to your emotions. Okay? It almost reiterates point number one. But just because someone cries a lot doesn't mean they're not walking with the Holy Spirit, or they're walking more with the Holy Spirit. Just because someone actually doesn't shed a tear doesn't mean they're not working on behalf of the Holy Spirit. It's not this emotional reaction thing. Number three, the Holy Spirit is not your spiritual hall pass. Here's what I mean by that one, and I've seen this one used a lot is, well, I think the Holy Spirit told me not to go to church. I don't think so. Jesus said, go to church. And I think the Holy Spirit's going to be like, Jesus, what do you want to do? I think you want, I should go to church. Let's go to church. Okay? So it's not your spiritual help. I don't need to go to youth because I'm working with the Holy Spirit. No, you're not. You need to go to youth. You need to read your Bible. You need to create daily habits of walking with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an exception to walking with the Lord. The Holy Spirit enables a walk with the Lord. Amen? All right. Last one. The Holy Spirit is not every spirit. The Holy Spirit is not every spirit. Okay, a little creepy here, sorry, but the Bible teaches this stuff, and so we need to go ahead and get it out there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from the Spirit of God. There's a spiritual battle that happens. It's real. It's as real as the air we breathe. And just because it's like, well, wait a minute, I feel like the Spirit's telling me to go downtown and get drunk, I can tell you that may be a spirit, but it's not the Spirit of God. I think there's a spirit telling me I should move in with my boyfriend. We don't have to get married, and we should just, we're going to test things out. I think that's not what the Spirit of God's telling you. That may be something else. That may just be something else. The Christian faith is not about being spiritually gullible. The Christian faith is about being strong in the Spirit and knowing that we can stand our ground and that we can take care of our hearts and move forward. What we learned about at Quest is that God loves to work, and when we're thinking about this pure heart, the idea of creating me a pure heart, we talked about, look, when we say the word heart, God's not saying your physical heart. God has given you a beautiful, amazing physical heart. But what he's really referring to is it's deeper. It's in there. It's way down in there. It's like who you are. And God wants to minister way down in there. And what he does to get way down in there is not an EKG or whatever, that's for your heart. What he gets down in there is the Holy Spirit. What he uses to get down, way down in there, is the Holy Spirit. And my prayer for this church and for our young people is this, is that they would learn to walk with the Holy Spirit day by day by day by day. That the Holy Spirit would become this chief counselor, that they would start the day and say, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to comfort and to guide me. Because that will protect their hearts. There's a lot out there vying for your affections of your heart, and they can hurt you. But Jesus came to ransom our hearts and set us free. Some of the ways the Holy Spirit works in our life and why he does, why it's so important. Are you ready? Number one, let me take a look at this. The Holy Spirit empowers us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit empowers us when we're feeling weak. One of the bad misconceptions I hear about from people that are growing in their walk with the Lord is to say, I don't know how to talk to my friends about Jesus. I kind of have to build up a defense. You know what? No, you don't. Just start talking about Jesus. The Holy Spirit actually promises to come and intercede on your behalf. Do we believe that? I think I'm going to go memorize a few verses and really kind of work on my approach, right? No, the Holy Spirit will intercede on your behalf. In the Bible, there is this character, his name is Peter. Peter, in Acts chapter 3, gives an amazing testimony of Jesus. He speaks boldly about Jesus Christ. Peter, at this point, is so bold for the gospel that people are looking to arrest him. They're looking to put him away. I got to tell you, getting arrested in those days was bad. It was bad news. There was no safety net for Peter. There wasn't a safe house to go to. There wasn't this culture of religious freedom at this time. None of that. Peter was very bold for the gospel. Now, question. Was Peter always bold? No. He was not Superman. He was actually broken man empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is the same Peter that at Jesus' darkest hour denied him three times. Denied him. I'm not with Jesus. No. Denying, standing back, getting away, in fear of his own life. He didn't want to be associated with Jesus. Even though he walked with him and taught with him and watched the miracles of Jesus face to face for three and a half years, Peter denied him in his darkest hour. So what changed? Did he go to theological school? Did he go to youth for 4 or 5 years? Or did he go out and he memorized a couple books of the Bible? What changed was the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, God moved and he spoke through weak little Peter. And so for us, what we can take great comfort in is when we're weak, he is strong. Amen? Number two, the Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit works through Scripture and people to change our hearts. John 14:26, Romans 8:14, 1 Corinthians 2:6-14. These are all verses that are out there that talks about the Holy Spirit teaching us. Let me tell you, one of the things I get nervous about coming back from Quest or when we reach one of these spiritual highs sometimes is that, man, that's it. I'm reading my Bible every day for an hour a day. Woo! It's on. I'm going to do that for the rest of my life. And about 4 or 5 days into it, it's like, I'm getting kind of 45 minutes is okay, right? 30, what's on TV? We get distracted. Is the Bible breathing life into you? If not, you know what the Bible says to do? Pray for the Holy Spirit to show you God's word. God will breathe fresh revelation into your life in words that have been written thousands of years ago. He's been doing it for thousands of years. He's been doing it every day. God will breathe new life into those words, and it will be exactly what you need to hear. Oftentimes, These revelations can come through teaching or through pastor's teaching. Romans 10, 14 through 16 talks about this role of pastoral care. One thing I want to always be for our youth is a sounding board. And I got the privilege of some of our youth coming to me and saying, hey, what does this mean? I don't understand this. I'm like, awesome. Yeah. Is this a bad question? No, there's no such thing as a bad question. If you got a question about the Bible, you're in good company. I have questions. Okay? And if there's something we don't know together, let's go find some counsel and find this stuff. But the Bible is so good and perfect and true that sometimes in our imperfect state, we don't quite get it. And that's not against us. That is because God loves us. He's trying to reveal something to us. So let the scriptures teach you. Let the scriptures teach you. Number three, the Holy Spirit works through prayer. The Holy Spirit will intercede on our behalf in glorifying Christ and his people. If you find yourself in a position that's like, hey, we're going to do some prayer time. I don't know what to pray. That's all right. Ask the Holy Spirit. Let's start there. No, really, let's do that. Okay. It may be awkward. I love awkward. Awkward's okay. It really is. Peter may have been a little awkward when he was given his testimony. But he was given his testimony and he was totally all about Jesus. And so my prayer for you guys is that you learn to pray. Well, where do I learn that? What's the five step? No. Don't five step, 10 step. No, it's the Holy Spirit. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit for words. Amen? All right. Number four, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus' purpose for you. The Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus' purpose for you. One thing that we will continue to talk about, this is just something we're going to probably talk about over the next couple of weeks in youth and in the bridge, is this. I think our young people are facing an identity crisis. Here's what I mean by that. The culture is screaming at you what you should or should not be. The culture is screaming at you what you should love and not love. The culture is screaming at you where you should spend your money, what you're here for, why you shouldn't be here. And what Jesus has actually said, comes with the Holy Spirit, is to say, you know what? I created you. I put a purpose deep inside you, and you come to me, and I will bring about that unique purpose in your life. I've got a heart for music. Praise God, we need more worship leaders. I've got a heart to go out and teach. Praise God, we need more pastors. I've got a heart just to build something. Praise God. We need to build another building. And so God is going to fulfill the purposes he puts deep inside you when you go to him. I wrote this down. I believe 95% of our life's purpose is readily found in the Bible. 95% at least, if not more, of our purpose is found in the Bible. How much time are you spending in the Bible looking for your purpose? How much time? The Holy Spirit wants to give you a revelation about what you should be up to, about what you should be doing, where you should go to college, where you should work, how to be a loving father, how to be a loving mother. We need those things. Number five, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Ooh, I don't like that. Can we go and stop on number four? Sin, it's a problem. It's been a problem since day numero one with our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, grandmother, Adam and Eve. We're all the family. They mess up. They believed a lie. Another thing we were taught at Quest this year is that God is truth. God is perfect, lovely, pure truth. And that when we build on that cornerstone, when we build on the truths of God, we've got this life that can reflect Jesus, and it's a wonderful, beautiful thing in our own life. That sounds pretty good, but in enters a serpent, a snake, and he tells a lie. And we've been falling for lies ever since, because what we're saying is, I don't really want to believe a lie. What I want to believe is that there's something that I'm getting value. And so what happens in Genesis is God says, look, I made you in my image. You're beautifully, wonderfully made. Man, woman, look how beautiful you are. You are made in my image. In the image of God, he made man. It's right out of the Bible. And then he says, go, it's all yours. All you got to do is stay away from that one tree over there. Bad tree, bad. Okay, that's it. In comes a serpent. And what does he say? You know, did God really say that? Is that really what God meant? Don't you want to be like God? Don't you want to be like God? Well, wait a minute, back the bus up a little bit. God told me I was made in his own image. I am a reflection of God. I'm already a reflection of God. And Satan comes in and says, oh, no, don't you want to be like God? We fall for a lie and something that Satan can never give us, something God actually already gave us in the first place. We're looking for life. Don't you want to do something big in life? Don't you want to hang out with all your friends? Don't you want to have value? Don't you want to have a boyfriend that loves you? Don't you want to have a girlfriend that respects you? Don't you want all these things? There's life in them. And I'll tell you, having a boyfriend or girlfriend is not bad. Pursuing work and a career is not bad. You put it ahead of God, and it'll destroy you. It's just a drink. It's just alcohol. Come on, let's just go have some beers. As soon as I make that my God, my liver's destroyed, and I'll probably ruin my marriage along the way. It's just work. It's just work. I've got to work. I've got to provide for my family. If you give your entire life to work, you're going to end up with all this stress that all the doctors talked about, and you're going to destroy the relationship with your kids. It's not worth it. So those lies that are told to us by the culture, I got to tell you, are those things evil? Do we got to get away? No, not necessarily. We got to go after the world. But first, we got to know Jesus, walk with the Holy Spirit, and then, boom, go after the world. Amen? We've got to go do those things. God loves this generation. I was completely blessed this week by what I just stopped, probably because I was going to pass out because it was so hot, and just watched the kids worship. It was absolutely beautiful. I was like, man, this is heaven. But not as hot. That's the other place. With air conditioning. And my prayer for us as a church is that you, here's what we talked about. I don't want to extinguish that flame in these kids when they come back. I want to build it up and light it up more. I don't want to sit there and be like, it's, you know, y'all, that was great at Quest, but we got to kind of sit back a little bit. Let's get, you know, no, you need to, boom, catch up with Quest, because Quest was awesome. And because we were praying for each other, we're engaging in worship, we're going after each other, and we had a great time. And what has blessed my heart is as we've come back, I've heard of kids engaging with each other even after Quest, and let's go do this. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. That is so good. Encourage that, encourage that, encourage that. Parents, go after your kids in the Word of God. Give them the Word. It is the most precious gift you can give them.